You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, this is part five of our series. This is a little six-week series that we're doing for to wrap up the summer called Start Here. And let me just kind of tell you how this series came about, and that is the Lord laid on my heart to take a few weeks as we wrap up the summer and really help those that might be new with your walk with Jesus and aren't really sure where to start in your Bible reading or Bible study. And then we spent the first 3 weeks talking about the Word of God and the validity of the Word of God and how you need to base your life on the Word of God. And then last week we began the latter half of it talking about prayer. And those are really the two key elements that every believer, every follower of Jesus needs in your life is the Word of God and prayer. And so I encourage you, if you missed any of those services, you know, go back and listen to the podcast and check it out and get caught up. And then today we're going to have a great time. We're again talking about prayer. So if you want to take out your message notes that you received on your way in. Also, just want to let you know that if you want to follow along, you can do that on your smartphone or your tablet, whatever device you might have, and go to our website and you'll see the message is already there with my notes that are on the website, and you can just follow along. But I encourage you, go ahead and fill in the blanks on the message notes just so it'll help you get it down into your heart what we're talking about. But let's start at our verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Paul said this, writing to the Thessalonica church. He said this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Everybody say, pray. Without ceasing. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Then he said in verse 18, in everything give thanks. Now notice he didn't say for everything. How many of you know that you don't need to thank God for the things the devil tries to bring into your life? You need to be thankful in the middle of those situations, but you don't thank God for everything. But he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so notice Paul said in verse 17 that we need to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So how do you live a life of prayer where you don't pray without ceasing, or you pray without ceasing? And it's not that you get weird and people can't talk to you and you can't function on your job because your boss comes by and you say, I can't talk to you right now, I'm praying, because you'll be calling me and asking me to agree with you for another job, and I don't want that to happen, so don't be trying to pray on your job. So what is Paul telling us? He's telling us to keep an attitude of prayer. He's telling us just in our heart and in our spirit, just keep an attitude of prayer where we're listening, we're attentive to the Lord, and we're open to communicating with Him. And so I want to give you some things this morning to help you have a successful prayer life. Now, prayer is about you fellowshipping with God. You know, a lot of times, and I've probably presented it this way in the past, and that is that prayer is you communicating with God, but you do understand communication is two-way. And so next week, we're going to talk about how you can attune your ears spiritually to be able to hear from God and be able to receive from Him. You know, God doesn't want you just talking to Him and then Him never be able to speak to you in your life. So we'll head down that road next week. But I want to give you a couple of things to help you with prayer, the actual act of prayer this week. Now, I want to make a comment and I want to say it and then I'm going to kind of address it. And that is this, that anybody in the room ever heard anybody say this, that I believe in the power of prayer? Okay, if you've heard that, raise your hand. Okay, I'm not going to ask if you've said that because I know I have in the past. And I'm going to say something and it might shock you a little bit. But I don't believe in the power of prayer. Somebody said, grab your purse, Myrtle, we got to go. No, okay, hear me out, all right? Listen to me, okay? No, I don't believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of God. that prayer releases. Okay? Somebody said, well, isn't that the same thing? No, because you have to be maybe a little careful if you say things like, I believe in the power of prayer, because what that has a tendency to do is put your faith in prayer, not in God. Right. And let me illustrate what I'm talking about. I see this quite frequently in social media where, and I understand, I'm not being critical. I'm just helping to try and maybe make some adjustments. And you'll see people, matter of fact, last week I saw something where there was somebody posted a picture of a child and they named the family and they named his name, didn't really even go into what was wrong with the child, but said, can we, you know, get everybody praying for this child? And then, if they're really bold, they might put something on it like, if you really believe that God can do something, share this picture or share this story. Anybody seen things like that? And see, what I want to say to you is this, is that there's a misbelief that if we can just bombard heaven with so much prayer that we'll twist the hand of God and He might have to answer our prayer. And that's, if you really are honest, that's kind of what's behind those types of things. And I want you to understand something. It is not the multitude of prayers, because let me help you with something. You don't know, first of all, in this particular situation, there was no indication as to what anybody was believing in that situation. What I mean by that is, there was no indication as to what the parents are believing. See, I can believe for complete and total healing or a miracle or whatever it is, but you don't know what those parents might be believing. I mean, if they haven't been taught the fullness of the Word of God, they might be believing that their child will just die peacefully. Okay? And I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying there is no communication for me to be able to get in agreement with them so that I can hook my faith up with them and believe. And so let's just throw out a number. Let's say you get 1,000 people praying for that little boy. There might be 1,000 different prayers that are going up. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one of those 1,000 prayers is God going to answer? Okay? See, there's wisdom behind this. There's things that we need to know and understand about prayer if we want to be able to make the connection with God so that He can move on our behalf. God desires to answer our prayers. You need to understand that right off the bat. I didn't put that in your notes, but because it's kind of an assumption, but you need to understand God wants to hear and answer your prayer. However, God can't respond to just anything. God doesn't respond to things that are outside of the spectrum of His Word. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. So if you're following along on your message notes, I want to just give you 4 things that will kind of help you with prayer right off the bat. So let me just help you with this. And I want to say this before I give you this first statement, and that is this, that there are times when you're going to need to go before God and pour out your heart before the Lord. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is, you know, there's nothing wrong when you have a bad day, getting in the car after work or whatever, and saying, Lord, you know what? My day was not good. My day was not good. And there's nothing wrong with you having that kind of conversation with God. But here's what I want you to understand. God doesn't respond to that. He hears you, and He's sensitive to that. But here's where we kind of fall into a little trap, and here's the first thing that I want you to get. So if you're writing notes on this, listen to this. You don't have to sell Jesus on how bad you're hurting. I'm going to say that again. You don't have to sell Jesus. In other words, you don't have to, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with this, but I want you to understand, you don't have to work up a bunch of tears and really, you know, make it sound awful in order to get Jesus' attention. Okay? Are you tracking with me? Y'all are real quiet. All right? Listen to me carefully. Okay? Now, you don't have to try and convince Jesus when you're in pain, when you're experiencing loss, or when something negative and bad is going on in your life. You don't have to try and convince Him how bad it is. Let me show you why. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to see, and I'm reading this from the Amplified Classic. It says this, "For we do not have a high priest," who's Jesus, "who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and our infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation." In other words, Jesus, who is our high priest, is sensitive to the things that we experience in life. Now, why is he experienced? Because he is one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Here's what I want you to see. You don't have to try and sell Jesus on how bad you're hurting in life, because Jesus has lived here. Jesus has experienced every kind of pain, every kind of temptation that you and I have experienced. So he knows where you're coming from. See, we fall into a little mental trap that says, well, Jesus is way far off. Jesus has no idea what I'm going through. And so I got to really tell him how bad it is. Are you following me? Okay, and again, there might be times when you need to pour your heart out to the Lord, but don't do it from a motivation that I've really got to tell Jesus and convince him how bad my life sucks right now. Okay, that's not what you need to do. Here's why. Because here's a big difference between you and me and God. He feels what you feel, but he's not moved by what he feels. I'm going to say that again, okay? This verse in Hebrews just told us, he feels what you feel, but he's not moved by what he feels. Okay? I want to say that one more time. Jesus feels every tear. He feels every pain. He feels everything that you're going through. However, he is not moved by his response to your feelings. In other words, he feels it, but God and us, Jesus and we, are different because we have a tendency to go with how we feel. Jesus doesn't go with how he feels. Okay? Now, let me give you an example, and this isn't in your notes, but you remember when Jesus walked up to was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible is in that story. It says he walked up to the tomb where Lazarus was buried, and he wept. He felt it because this was a friend of his. He loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha dearly. The Bible says he does or did. But the thing that I want you to see is Jesus didn't respond to them out of his tears. He responded to them out of what he knew God wanted to do in that situation. What if Jesus had walked up and then, you know, Martha and Mary came up and they just huddled around and just boo-hooed for about 3 hours at the grave, and then they went back home for the repast and had ham and deviled eggs and all that kind of stuff. And then that was it, because everybody was feeling so bad about what happened. What would we have in the Bible? We probably wouldn't even have that story in the Bible, because Jesus would have been moved by how he was feeling. He wasn't moved by how he felt, because he knew. Matter of fact, he told Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. You will see your brother alive again." So he wasn't allowing himself to be moved by the tears and the pain that he felt, just like we have a tendency to do. Because you remember how the sisters responded? Jesus, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Right. See, they were letting their grief control what they believed that Jesus could do. And what I'm wanting you to see in prayer, you cannot afford to let how you feel shape how you pray. Okay, I'm teaching really good right now, okay? See, if God was moved by how we felt and how he feels about the way we feel, then he would not move among humanity in fairness. Let me illustrate this for you. Let's say my friend Lita up here, okay, let's say she can work up a good cry more than I can. Okay, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be serious. You know, let's say we got stuff going on in her life, but she being, you know, just women have a tendency to be more in touch with their feelings, and she's responding out of her emotions, and she's going before the Lord, and she is really crying before the Lord and really working it up, whereas me being a man, you know, I'm kind of headline, and so, I may not cry as hard as she does. Who's God going to respond to? Her because she's crying harder, or me because I'm not? See, if he's moved by how he feels, he would respond to her before he would respond to me. No, let me tell you something. God will respond to the one who believes him. Okay, I can tell y'all are real excited, so we'll get this. Listen to this. Sympathy is not what you need at that moment. You need an answer. I really want to encourage you, if you have your piece of paper there and your little pen, write that down in between the lines there somewhere, okay? I didn't include it because I was kind of running out of room, but sympathy is not what you need at that moment. It might feel like that's what you need, but it's really not what you need. What you need is an answer and some help, okay? And so Jesus wants to give you the answer and the help that you need. Now, that brings me right into the next point. Are y'all still writing? You want me to wait a minute? Okay. Y'all done? Okay, all right. Here's the next thing, okay? And this kind of takes us right into the next point, and that is this. God is no respecter of persons, okay? He doesn't respond to you because you have a higher stature in life than somebody else. He doesn't respond to you because you went to Bible school. He doesn't respond to you because you got saved yesterday. He doesn't respond to you based on anything else having to do with you and your personality. And he does not respect people in that sense. In other words, the Bible indicates to us that God sees everybody the same. Okay? He sees everybody playing on an even field. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter, in his message at Cornelius' house, he stood up and he said this, and again reading from the Amplified, and Peter opened his mouth and said, "Most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand." Now let me pause before I read the rest of that verse. Because Peter used to not believe what I'm getting ready to tell you. He believed that God loved the Jews more than he did anybody else, and that Jesus died for the Jews only. Okay? And God had to really minister to him and help him out. Matter of fact, he had to give him a vision and help him to understand that Jesus died for everybody, that Jesus came to redeem all humanity. And so once he got that revelation, Peter quit being a respecter of persons. And so let me read the rest of the verse. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons." Okay? So just because your grandma and him went to church every week and loved Jesus, that God's going to respond to you differently. No, it has nothing to do with that. Because he does not respect people. Now, here's the next thing. God does respect faith. Okay? God does respect faith. Now, what does that mean? Because faith is what gives him the invitation to be able to move in your life. Your belief in what he can do and what the Word says is what gives him the open door to be able to step into your situation. Now, again, I'm giving you some things to help you understand and shape your prayer life maybe a little bit differently. Let me give you two instances where Jesus responded to faith. You might remember the story of this centurion. He was a Roman soldier, a Gentile, somebody that was not under the Abrahamic covenant at all. And he was, because the Romans occupied Israel at that time. Now, he was a good man. There's many theologians and historians that believe that this particular centurion that we're talking about actually, out of his own pocket, built a synagogue in one of the towns in Israel. So he was a good man. He loved the Israeli Hebrew people. But what I want you to see is that he comes to Jesus. He's got a servant at home that's sick. And he says, Jesus, I need you to heal my servant. So Jesus said, great, I'll come to your house. And he said, no, you don't even need to come to my house. Stay where you are. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Now, that took Jesus aback. Let's read it. He said, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed him. So here's Jesus having this conversation with this centurion. All of his staff members are right here. So the centurion says, you don't even need to come to my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus turns to those who followed him and he said this, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such. Read those next two words with me aloud. Say it one more time. Notice it said he marveled at his great faith. Now, one translation says that Jesus was so thoroughly amazed at this guy's great faith. So great faith gets Jesus' attention. You know why? Because it means that he can move in that situation. Jesus wanted to heal the servant, but he had to have an open door, and faith from this centurion was the open door. He said, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Isn't that something? A Gentile man outside of the covenant of God was able to release and have more faith in Jesus than his own people. That's amazing. Now let me show you the opposite, the contrary to this, all right? Matthew 6:6, okay? There was a situation where Jesus went, he had been doing preaching the circuit and went back to his own hometown of Nazareth. And so he rolls into town, and if you read the context of everything, he went to his own hometown with the intention of healing and delivering and setting people free, just like he had in every other town. But his homies came to him and responded to him a little bit different than everybody else did. Anybody remember what it was like to go to your high school reunion and everybody recognized you and they knew you back in high school? It's amazing to me. I'm rolling up on my my. I know the truth will set you free. Okay. I'm rolling up on my 40th high school reunion here in a couple years. Okay. Now, I don't even know if we'll have one. Okay. But I remember I went to my 10 year, and I remember going to that, and you're kind of seeing everybody, and you're like, I knew you, and I knew what you were like in high school, and blah, blah, blah. And so, some people you were amazed at, you were like, wow, you've really done well. Some of them you were like, you're just like you were in high school. I mean, you ain't changed a bit. You're just fat and bald, but other than that, you ain't changed a bit, okay? Now, so Jesus rolls into his own hometown and wants to do many miracles among the people, but his neighbors and the people down the street said, who is this guy think he is? This is just Jesus. We grew up with him. His father had that carpentry shop down the street. And what happened is they pulled the plug. You might want to remember this. Familiarity sometimes can pull the plug on your faith in what God can do. And so Jesus, it says in Mark 6:6, it says he marveled because of their unbelief. Remember, he marveled at the centurion's faith, but here he marveled at their unbelief. In other words, again, he was thoroughly amazed at their unbelief, their lack of faith in him, and he went about the surrounding villages and continued teaching. One translation says that he wasn't able to do any miracles there except heal a few folks that had minor ailments. He wanted to deliver, he wanted to heal, he wanted to free people from leprosy, he wanted to have limbs grow out, he wanted to do some spectacular miracles, but all he could do was heal a couple of headaches and maybe a head cold. Now, I'm not trying to be funny, that's kind of what it boiled down to. All right, so God is a respecter of faith. Now, here's the next thing that I want you to see, and that is this. God responds to faith. Faith is what God responds to. Faith is what God responds to. That's why it's so important what you believe. What is it that you believe? What is it that when you approach God in prayer, what are you believing at the moment of prayer? Okay, are you just hoping that maybe God might do something? That's not faith. You're starting with raw material. There's some hope there, but you need to move that over into faith. God responds to faith. I love something Smith Wigglesworth said. Smith Wigglesworth was a tremendous man of God that worked and operated in the early 20th century. Great man of faith. He said this, that there is something about believing God that will cause Him to pass over a million people to get to you. See, there's something about a man or a woman that will dare stand on the Word of God and believe God, that not that he doesn't love the other people, but he only responds to faith. And so faith is what allows him to be able to step into your situation. Look at Romans chapter 4 in verse 16, again from the Amplified Bible. It says this, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of, say the next word,
faith.
Say it like you mean it.
Faith.
So inheriting the promise is the result or the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. Okay? In order that it might be given as an act of grace. Now here is why. I'm going to read the verse and then I'm going to explain to you why God set it up this way. Okay? It says that in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable, valid, and guaranteed to all His descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, meaning the Jews, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham and who is thus the father of us all. Now let me explain to you what Paul is saying here to the Roman Christians. He's saying God designed it this way. He set it up to where you receive from Him by faith so that it can be by His grace. In other words, you can't earn it, you can't deserve it. The only way you can receive it is to believe for it. Now here's why. Because if it doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, it doesn't matter what you did before you received Christ, none of that matters. If you can believe God, God will do the impossible for you. And that's the only way He could make it even for everybody. Because again, my friend Lita up here, if she grew up in church and went to church all her life, and this God getting God to respond to her prayers was based on coming to church, and I just got saved 2 weeks ago, and I ain't hardly been in church in my whole life, then how's God gonna know who to respond to and answer their prayers? It's by faith so that it might be by grace. In other words, if she can believe and I can believe, God will respond to me just like He'll respond to her.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you tracking with me? Because see, God wants to answer your prayers, but He's got to have a basis to be able to move in your life. And so your faith is what opens the door for Him to be able to move and pour out His grace in your life. And so I wanted you to hear those four things so that you can kind of understand, okay? So I need to have a prayer that isn't based on how I feel at the moment. I need to pray based on what God's Word says and what I believe from God's Word, all right? Because that's what God responds to. Now listen, I did not say that God doesn't love you. He loves you. But He may not be able to answer your prayers because your believing is wrong. Okay, do you understand? See, that's why people will say, you know what? I prayed and I don't know what happened. I didn't get healed or whatever. Okay, listen, I might not be able to understand your particular situation, but the bottom line is this. Something must have been off in your believing somewhere because God doesn't change. God is the same. Okay? And listen, if there's a failure, it's not on God's side. Okay. Hallelujah. Let's all just lift our hands and say, praise the Lord. No, I'm just... All right. Now, let me give you some things. You know me, I'm super, super duper practical. I want to give you four things to help you be able to have a prayer that will bring results. In other words, a prayer that God will respond to. Anybody interested in that? Okay. And again, this is nothing new. I've covered these things before, but it helps me. It helped me when I was preparing this to really kind of fine-tune maybe some things, and I believe that it'll help you as well. All right, here we go. Number one, find out what God's Word says about your situation and base your prayer on God's Word. Find out what God's Word says about your situation and base your prayer on God's Word. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what God's Word says about my situation. Okay, may I suggest to you, either on your smartphone or your tablet, or go to Walmart and buy you a Bible, but get you a Bible. And there is a wonderful tool that we have today called Brother Google that can help you. I'm serious. You know, listen, even in my Bible study, when I'm preparing messages, there might be a few times when I go to Google and say, Google, where's this verse in the Bible? Because I can't remember. Google will tell you, okay? So I'm just saying that there are resources available for us today to help us find out what does God's Word say. Now, I want to ask you a question. If God has already said something in His Word, wouldn't it make sense that if I base my prayer on something that He has already said, then it's a done deal that God will respond to my prayer? Okay. Then why do we have a tendency to pray prayers that have nothing to do with God's Word? Okay, I'm just saying. All right. So let me show you a verse from the Bible. John 15, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking. If you got the right kind of Bible, it's in red. All right. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So here's the thing. If you abide in Jesus and Jesus' words abide in you. Now that doesn't mean, now listen to him. I'm going to say something. Everybody put your antennas up. Listen. That word abide does not mean I hear it every now and then, maybe twice a month on Sunday. Okay. That word abide means this. I make my home in it. That implies a less than casual relationship with God's Word. That implies I live in it. Hallelujah. Okay. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it might be done. It kind of, sort of, could happen. He uses the strongest language that one could possibly use when he says this, in that if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and there is no way for it not to be done for you. That's what that means. Okay? So it is a done deal. If you will just find out what does God's Word say about my situation. Well, you know, Pastor, I have a need over here. Well, I guarantee you somewhere in the Word of God, it might not address your particular finite circumstances, but I guarantee you there is Word that addresses your overall needs, something that you can base your prayer on. You cannot pray. Well, let me say this to you. I've said this before. Again, not in your notes. Again, because I ran out of room. I just need to go to bigger pieces of paper for y'all. That's what I need to do. So next week when you get here, your notes are going to be on an 11 by 17 sheet, okay? No, let me say this to you. Smith Wigglesworth, the guy I mentioned a little while ago, he said this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Where there is a question mark in your thinking about the will of God, your faith stops right there. So if you're wondering in the back of your brain, is this really God's will for me? Your faith is going to go no further than that question mark right there. So then how do I find out what God's will is? The Scripture says that His will and His word are the same. Okay? God will never will something differently than what He said in His word, and He will never say something in His word that is not His will. So when the word says, who in His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, and by His stripes you were healed, I don't have to do a whole bunch of fasting and praying trying to figure out, is it God's will for me to be healed? Particularly, now Jesus said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so let me give you another one. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 says, surely He has bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for my transgressions. He was chastised for my peace. The chastisement for my peace was upon Him. And with His stripes you are healed. Galatians 3, chapter 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That's three. You need another one? Okay, you got it? All right. So what I want you to see is that God's will and His word are one and the same. So you must base your prayer on God's word. Now here's number two. Now this is a big one. All right, get this one. Number two, ask God for things you desire and believe that you have the answer. I know this is basic, but we got to get this. Ask God for the things that you desire and believe that you have the answer. Now let me show you something. Mark 11, 24, and I like the New Living Translation just because it's very plain. I tell you, now this is Jesus speaking. By the way, you do understand, Jesus didn't say something and then God's in heaven going, I wish He hadn't have said that. Here goes Jesus opening His mouth one more time and I guess I got to do it. He is the Son of God. No, that wasn't it at all. If you find Jesus saying it, it is the will of God, all right? I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, let's break this down. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it. When do you believe that you received it? When you pray. Because listen, if you believe it when the answer shows up, you don't have to believe it. You have the answer. Faith is believing that you have the answer at the moment that you pray before the answer ever shows up. Okay? I tell you, you can pray for anything. Say anything.
Anything.
You can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. When you ask, you must believe that you have the answer at the moment that you pray. That is faith. Okay? So if I go to the Word of God, I find it in the Bible that God has said that whatever it is, that I can have it. So I go to God and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You, whatever it might be, Father, at this moment, I believe that I receive it. And so from this moment forward, I have the answer. But Pastor, nothing changed. Jesus didn't say it had to change before you believed you received the answer. He said if you'll believe you have the answer at the moment you pray, you will receive the answer. But Pastor, I prayed and I don't feel any different. It's not based on how you feel. It's based on your faith and what you believe at the moment that you pray. Are you following me? Okay. So, let's go to number three. Number three is this. The Scripture says, and I'm going to show it to you, but we need to meditate constantly on the promises upon which you base the answer to your prayer. Now, let me say this to you just as a help. Okay, this is what I do. I encourage you, when you need to pray about a situation, don't move too quickly. And what I mean by that is, and I know sometimes you have to, okay? But I'm talking about if it's something that you have a minute and you can pray about it, get you a notebook. You know, listen, now is the great time for you to go get a notebook. Notebooks, spiral notebooks, old Mead. What were those things that we used to get in school? The Mead that folded out and had 100 different sections in. Trapper what?
Trapper keeper.
Yeah. You go get you one of them, all right? And some notebook paper and put it in that binder. And then when you need to pray, find the scriptures that you're basing that prayer on. Write them down in that notebook and date it. And then pray over those scriptures. And then if you need to, say, I believe that I have received the answer, and sign your name to it and date it then. Now, let me tell you why I encourage you to do that. Because it is so much fun when the answer shows up to flip back in your notebook, in your trapper keeper, and find it where it says, I prayed for this on this date, and the answer showed up. And then write it down. Say, the manifestation came, the answer came on this date right here. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Why? What is that doing? That gives you something to base your focus and your attention on, okay? Now, here's the other thing that it does. Let me read this point. Meditate constantly on the promises upon which you base the answer to your prayer. While you're standing in faith before the answer has shown up, you have it, it's just not in your hands yet, flip in that notebook and begin to think about those scriptures. Well, God said, by His stripes I'm healed. So if I am if healed, and He said in the Old Testament, you were healed. If He said you were, then I am. So I see myself as having my healing right now. Meditation doesn't mean sitting with your legs crossed and going, hmm. It means this. It means visually imaging your life in accordance with God's Word. See yourself as healed. See yourself as blessed. See yourself as debt-free. See yourself as prosperous. See yourself being able to sow into people's lives and meeting their needs. See yourself owning your own home. See yourself married. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And see yourself with what you are praying for. That's what meditating on the promises is all about. See yourself in possession of what you've asked and make plans accordingly as if it's already yours. Okay? Somebody said, well, you know, I'm believing God to be able to bless a lot of people. And I'll ask you, do you have a bank account? No, I don't have a bank account yet. Get you $5 and go open you a bank account. Take a step in the direction towards the answer that you're believing for. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. I love this. My son or my daughter, everybody, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Here's the key. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Then if you go down a couple of more verses, in verse 25, he says this, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Solomon is telling us, when you stake your life on the Word of God and you're believing God, refuse to turn away from it. Keep it before you all the time. Keep it in front of your eyes. I know people that have done this. I've done it to a small extent, but not maybe to a degree that some have. But I know Brother Steve, you heard his testimony last week. They put scriptures on index cards and taped them all over their house while they were standing in faith for his healing. And so everywhere they turned, there was the Word of God. I'm in the bathroom, shaving, showering, brushing my teeth. There's the Word of God. On the refrigerator, where some of us hang out a lot, there is the Word of God. You know, on the door as I'm coming and going, there is the Word of God. Keeping it before your eyes all the time. Don't turn from it to the left or to the right. Number four, let your words affirm that you have what you ask. Let your words affirm that you have what you ask. Now that word affirm means validate or confirm. So in other words, Let your words line up with your faith, what you're believing for. Somebody said, well, I don't know what to say to people when they ask me. Can I just say something to you? Listen. You're under no obligation to answer anybody. If somebody says, well, what's going on with your situation? I'm working on it. And turn around and walk away. Okay? You don't owe everybody this big old explanation, and then next thing you know, your words are just way out left field, gotten way off from where you're believing. Okay? Don't do that. I love you, but I'm working on something right now. And I'll let you know when everything's, okay? I'll let you know. And that's all you do. Sometimes we need to learn the vocabulary of silence. Zip it. Like Barney Fife used to say, zip it, all right? You don't have to let your mouth just run on and on and on. Hebrews 4:14, inasmuch then as we have a high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in Him. If you're bold enough, if they ask you what's going on, say, well, listen, all I can tell you right now is that by His stripes I'm healed. And if they look at you crazy, let them look at you crazy. All I can tell you is that, but my God shall supply all your need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When that bill collector calls, tell him, sir, ma'am, thank you for your call. I'm working on it the best that I can. I'm going to get the money to you as soon as I can because my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. Well, I need to know today what you're going to do. I'm telling you today what I'm going to do. I'm standing and I believe God's word. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. God bless you. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Hope means an expectation. Hope doesn't mean I'm a wishing and I'm a praying. Hope means my expectation. So let us hold fast the confession of our expectation without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Here's number 5, all right? Now here, and this one's a big one. Continually thank and praise God for the answer as though you already have it because you do. Continually thank and praise God for the answer as though you already have it because you do. Now, this is where the work comes in. Okay? And I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes this is where the rubber meets the road. This separates the boys from the men, and so to speak. In other words, what I'm saying to you, when that battle is raging right here, that's when you're going to have to learn to open your mouth and thank and praise God for the answer because you already have it. Because your mind's going to be screaming at you until you get your mind renewed to the Word of God. Your mind is going to be screaming at you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to wake up in the middle of the night and those thoughts are going to be coming at you like machine gun bullets. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to have to open your mouth and say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise God as though I already have the answer because I do. And you're going to have to stand on it. You're going to have to praise God for the answer as though you already have it. Somebody said, how long? Till it's done. I wish I could tell you it's going to take 2 weeks, 4 days, 36 minutes. There's no way I can tell you that. But I can tell you it will happen. The answer will show up. The manifestation will come. And in that day, it's not going to be a surprise to you. You ever noticed? Okay, can I just I know what time it is, but just listen to me for just a minute. You ever notice why in Jesus' ministry, I mean, He had people raised from the dead, y'all. Okay. I've never had that happen in my ministry, but Jesus had people raised from the dead. He had people that had leprosy that had eaten stuff off their body. And He healed them and made them whole. Okay, you ever noticed that Jesus didn't say, as soon as the miracle happened, he didn't say, okay, strike up the band. I need the boot-tap music because I need to, so I can shout right now. You ever notice that didn't happen? Never. You know why? Because Jesus had his shout in his prayer closet when he already prayed about those situations. And the answer showing up didn't catch him off guard. Why is it that we get, I'm not saying we shouldn't praise God. Don't misunderstand me. But why do we respond to the miracle as, oh my God, look what happened. We should have been believing for that the whole time. And it shouldn't surprise us. Just saying. Philippians 4:6, the Living Bible. Don't worry about anything. I could drop the mic, close the Bible, dismiss, and we could go home after reading that one phrase right there. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell your needs, tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Now, let me help you as to why this is so important. To the degree that you praise God is the degree that things are going to come under control in your head. Okay? It is thinking faith thoughts, speaking faith-filled words that leads the heart out of defeat into victory. Another Smith Wigglesworth quote. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of these. If you have prayed 7 times for any one thing, you've prayed 6 times in unbelief. And you've just undone your prayers. I didn't say praised, I said prayed for. Okay? A wonderful man of God named Andrew Murray said this, "It is not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again." He went on to say this, "If when you do pray again, what you've prayed for hasn't materialized, don't pray for it again in the same way because that would be unbelief. Remind God that you have already asked for it. Remind Him of what His Word says and tell Him that you're expecting it and thank Him for it." I hope I'm helping somebody today. Now, here's what I want you to see, and I'm going to make this statement, read one more verse, and then we're done. The more you give thanks for the answer, the peace of God will become a guard over your heart and mind. Now, I'm going to read the verse, and then I'm going to tell you how this is true. Again, from the Living Bible, Philippians 4:7. If you do this, do what? Pray and thank God for the answer. You will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say this, okay? I don't want to say I like I'm judging you. You will be able to tell at the level where the level of your praise and your thanksgiving is based on the quietness of your mind. I'm going to say that again. The degree of peace that you have in your soul is directly related to the level of your praise and thanksgiving for the answer. In other words, let your praise outweigh the worry. Praise God so much and thank Him so much that your mind doesn't have time to worry about the answer. Doesn't have time to worry, is God going to come through this time? Okay? What I'm saying to you is the more you praise, the more your mind will shut up. Maybe you haven't been in a battle like I have. Maybe you haven't been woken up several times in the night with thoughts just coming at your mind saying, what are you going to do about this situation? How are you going to pay for that situation? You know they're going to be calling you tomorrow. Just all these questions. Maybe you've never faced a situation like that, but I can tell you based on my own experience, the more I praise God for the answer, the more that stuff quiets down and I begin to experience God's peace in my mind and in my heart. I'm telling somebody an answer right now. Somebody's been praying and asking God, God, help me with this thing called worry. I'm giving you the answer right now. I'm telling you, take time. Well, I don't feel like getting out of bed and praising God. Listen, how badly do you want that peace? Because that is the way that the peace of God shows up in your life, is when you dare to raise your hands, lift your hands, do whatever you need to do, open your mouth, and let the praise of God come out of your lips. Like the scripture says, let the fruit of your lips give thanks to His name. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that that need is taken care of. Father, thank you that my bills are paid. Oh, Father, I'm a tither and I'm a giver, Lord. Thank you that every need is taken care of. Thank you, Father, that you are more than enough. Thank you that you're El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. And thank you, God, that I can base my faith on your word. Somebody says, how long do I have to do that, Pastor? Till your mind shuts up. And then go lay back down. And then if you wake back up again, you might have to get up again. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is what God responds to. Is your faith, your belief in Him. And I'm just determined, and I just believe with every fiber of my being that God is looking for some people. And I'm just telling you, I believe He's found some people in Spring Hill Church that will dare to believe Him for the impossible. Some of y'all are looking at things in your life and it is so big and you can't see any way possible for that situation to come to pass or God be able to move. I'm telling you, God wants to do the impossible. He wants to do more, higher and above what you could ask or think if we will just believe Him for it. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and thank Him. Some of you are standing in faith and you just need to praise Him for a moment. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you that we have the answers. Thank you.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.